Good morning and welcome to Blueprint for Wealth. I'm Wayne Zell, your host of this fast-paced half hour of special topics and special guests designed to help you realize your personal dreams of wealth and freedom. The show, Blueprint for Wealth, is brought to you by Odin Feldman and Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Reston, Virginia, serving the entire Washington, D.C. metro area with clients all across the country. If you'd like to know more about us, visit us on the web at ofplaw.com or call us to make an appointment at 703-218-2100. Also, I invite you to subscribe to my blog, blueprintforwealth.org, which is available on the web, and there you can get content on tax, estate planning, and business planning topics of interest, as well as videos, audios, and articles. And lastly, I invite you to read my column in the Washington Business Journal once a month entitled Blueprint for Wealth, where we explore topics of interest in tax, estate planning, and business planning. Now, today there's a lot of discussion about the fiscal cliff. We're about ready to fall off the fiscal cliff, or Congress and the President will reach a compromise before the end of the year in a lame duck session. Today, I want to focus on one of the alternatives that's being proposed to resolve the dilemma of the fiscal cliff, and that is one that was proposed over 2 years ago by the National Commission on Fiscal Responsibility and Reform, also known as the Bowles-Simpson Commission. The stars of that commission, of course, were former Senator Alan Simpson and former White House advisor Erskine Bowles. It was a presidential commission that was created in 2010 by President Obama to identify policies to improve the fiscal situation in the medium term and to achieve fiscal sustainability over the long term. The commission first met in April of 2010 and released a report on December the 1st of 2010. But it failed a vote on December the 3rd with 11 out of 18 possible votes in favor of the commission's report and a supermajority required of 14. So it didn't pass the commission, so therefore it never made it to the congressional floors, to the House or the Senate, or for consideration by the president. The original proposal for a commission came out of bipartisan legislation. Bipartisan, that's a hard word to actually stomach these days, but it would be something that we would love to see happen this year. And it was bipartisan legislation that would have required Congress to vote on its recommendations as presented without any amendment. And that was back in January 2010. That bill failed the Senate by a vote of 53-46, where six Republicans who had co-sponsored it joined with 23 Democratic senators in the Senate at large and voted against it. The Republican opponents of the idea, including the defecting co-sponsors, said they objected to delegating congressional control over fiscal decisions. The commission's authority to recommend revenue-raising ideas such as tax increases, and a perception that the commission wasn't focused enough on spending cuts. Now, we're looking back in history, only 2 years, to the commission as being a potential panacea for the fiscal cliff. Now, let me explore what the commission report proposed back in 2010. Now, and before I do, let me just identify who the members of the commission were. I mentioned Alan Simpson. He was co-chair, former U.S. Senator. There was Erskine Bowles, former White House chief of staff. And then there were various others, including Representative Paul Ryan, who was the vice presidential Republican candidate from Wisconsin, and a few others, including Dave Camp from Michigan. And then on the Senate side, Senator Judd Gregg, Tom Coburn, and Mike Crapo from Idaho. And then on the Democratic side, we had Representative John Spratt, Xavier Becerra, Jan Schakowsky, and then Senators Richard Durbin, Max Baucus, and Kent Conrad. And so it was a fairly esteemed group of congressional participants, as well as others from industry who participated. We had the head of Honeywell International, David Cote, and we had Andy Stern, former president of Service Employees International Union, Alice Rivlin, who was with the Brookings Institution but was former director of the Congressional Budget Office, and various others participating on this commission. The idea of a commission reaching a proposal that was bipartisan was extremely important. And what they came up with was a basic five-point plan. Number one was a $200 billion deficit reduction package that included discretionary spending cuts, with proposed cuts including reducing defense procurement by 15%. And closing one-third of the overseas military bases. And the proposal also included eliminating earmarks, the so-called specific benefits that go to the various jurisdictions around the country, eliminating earmarks and cutting the federal workforce by 10%. This was $200 billion per year for 10 years that they were proposing. Next, number two, was $100 billion in annual increased tax revenues through various tax reform proposals. They proposed including a 15-cent per gallon gas tax and eliminating or restricting a variety of tax deductions, including the home mortgage interest deduction and the deduction that corporations and other businesses enjoy for employer-provided health care benefits. Number three, the commission recommended controlling health care costs by maintaining the Medicare cost controls that were included in the recent Obama health care legislation. In addition, they proposed considering a public option and a further increase in the authority of independent payment advisory boards. Number four, there was a suggested reduction in entitlements, including farm subsidies, civilian and military federal pensions, and student loan subsidies. And lastly, and most importantly, there were suggested modifications to the Social Security program that would raise the payroll tax and also increase the retirement age. After the chairman's briefing to the commission members, two Democratic Party members, Senator Durbin and Representative Schakowsky, publicly criticized the plan. Senator Conrad, who was a Democrat from North Dakota, declined to criticize the proposal. Instead, he said, instead of shooting down the proposal, propose an alternative. I think that's where we are today with the commission's report. The proposal was dismissed as unserious by Paul Krugman for its large proposed cuts in income tax rates. Krugman dismissed the idea that current marginal rates are a drag on economic growth and suggests that economic growth can still be sustained in light of increasing tax rates. The proposal was better received by the Democrat-affiliated but business-friendly think tank Third Way. Representative Jim Cooper, a Democrat from Tennessee, and Senator Ron Wyden, a Democrat from Oregon, also supported the proposals. President Obama asked critics of the proposal from both sides of the political spectrum to exercise caution and said, before anybody starts shooting down the proposals, I think we need to listen. We need to gather up all the facts. A report was released again on December the 1st, 2010, but failed to pass because it required a 14-vote supermajority. Voting for the report were Democrat Bowles, Coburn, Conrad, Crapo, Cote, Durbin, Fudge, Gregg, Rivlin, Simpson, former Republican senator, and Spratt. Voting against it were Senator Baucus, Becerra, Camp, Hensarling, Paul Ryan, Schakowsky, and Stern. The commission has been criticized as deliberating in secret and as being stacked with people who want to target entitlement spending rather than any balanced proposal, because it could lead to benefits for Social Security and Medicare, cuts in benefits for Social Security and Medicare. Many Democrats are calling this the so-called cat food commission. They don't want to cut Social Security or Medicare. and they want to retain benefits at their current levels. They're more inclined to increase taxes. On the other hand, the Republicans have been increasingly proposing cuts in Medicare and Social Security. I think the logical result should be that everybody consider a little bit of both. Everybody's got to bear the pain, which seems to be the consensus that's arising in the discussions that are leading up to a resolution of the fiscal cliff problem. This whole commission issue continued into 2011. In fact, in November of 2011, Simpson and Bowles submitted written testimony to the so-called super committee that is charged with making budget adjustments by Congress. They urged the 12 members of the super committee to go big toward a $4 trillion savings cut that was recommended by the commission, versus the $1.2 trillion deficit reduction that will be achieved through sequestration. Now, Simpson and Bowles are concerned and warned that failure to reach some agreement might result in another downgrade in our debt ratings, our securities ratings. But Moody's has separately said that such a failure alone wouldn't result in further change in U.S. ratings because the trigger of sequestration will still result in automatic $1.2 trillion in spending cuts. I guess time will tell whether or not Congress or the president can reach a consensus that will avoid us from falling over the fiscal cliff. Let's keep our ears and eyes open and hope that they can reach some kind of logical consensus before the end of the year. If you'd like to know more about some of the tax provisions or other spending cut provisions in the commission's proposals, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. Give us a call at 703-218-2100 or visit us on the web if you'd like to know more about the services offered by Odin Feldman and Pittleman at ofplaw.com.